You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You can't say that you're a believer
and
not expect to be tested.
Yeah.
So if you are a believer, you should know that there's going to be a lot of tests that's going to come.
Yeah.
So, and if you are striving to do the right thing, then it's not necessarily a punishment. You know, let me say this. If someone was to catch me doing something bad, then I'd rather go out letting my community know I failed you and I'll be willing to kill myself. What we don't need is people weak that they will fail their community and then they will now become a tool for someone else to be able to use them within our community. We don't need that. We don't need you going out doing something that you know you shouldn't be doing, getting caught, they capturing it and then using that against you, using that against you or using what they have against you on our own community.
Absolutely.
We don't need that. It's either going to happen or we're going to be destroyed as a community. It's two things.
Yeah.
There's no other way to go.
That's it,
We're going to either be destroyed as a community, or what I mean by that is as a community, we're no longer be operating as a community. We're just going to, you know, passport our way somewhere else and just, you know, fit in with everybody else.
Yeah.
Or if we decide to stay a community, then we have to get to a point where we are doing for ourselves.
Yeah.
Because the moment that you... and that's not to say that we can't go anywhere else and shop. It's not to say that we can't wear anybody else's clothing. It's not to say any of that. It's just to say that we should have some level of dignity where we should be providing alternatives.
Hey, wait. I know you want to watch this next video, but listen, if you are an entrepreneur, business coach, business consultant, or a small business owner who has a story and wants to learn how to create multiple streams of income from your story, I need you to text me right now, my book, to 646-687-4152. That is my personal number. I have been an author for over 12 years. I've written 10 books. Four of them have been bestsellers, and I've sold over 100,000 books, but I've also helped a lot of my clients take their expertise and put it into a story, then create multiple streams of income from that. So I want to help you do the same thing. So text my book to 646-687-4152. All right, let's go back to the video. So welcome to another awesome episode of Inside the Vault with Ash Cash, the greatest money mindset show on the planet. There is an African proverb that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. This show is going to be a powerful show that's going to talk to you about the power of collective and collaborative economics. We have Sharif Abdul Malik in the building, and he is no stranger to entrepreneurship with the focus on circulating the black dollar back to its own community as the founder of We Buy Black, an online hub for black-owned businesses to disseminate their products, Carol Oral, the first black-owned toothbrush company, and Tubman Batteries, rechargeable batteries, established to reduce our global carbon footprint. Abdul Malik is walking his talk and making sure that people understand that you can support your own by supporting your own businesses. Brother Sharif is in the building. What's up, brother, man?
You already know it, man.
Yes, sir. Good, yes, man. Sir. I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much for being our guest. You know, this is such an important episode for me, right? Yeah. Because, you know, I love to amplify the voices of those who are doing great work in the community,
sure.
Who are, you know, helping the community. But me, selfishly, I also love to amplify the voices of the people that pour into me, whether they know it or not, right? And so I've been a fan of, you know, what you've done with We Buy Black for many years, but even just being tapped into you personally and the messages that you put out there helped me get closer to God, to be 100% honest. You know what I'm saying? And there's no higher. There's nothing nobody could do. You can put a briefcase right here with $1 million, and then you can help me get closer to God. And there's no greater reward than helping me get closer to God.
100%.
And so I thank you publicly for that. Yeah. But for those who don't know, who is Sharif Abdul Malik?
Well, I am a servant.
Yes, sir.
I'm a servant first and foremost. I believe that is what I was created to be,
as
we all are created to be, servants. I would even go even stronger and say the word slave. But I'm cognizant, you know, and aware of our history, you know, shared history here in America. So I don't want to turn anybody off to that. But I would say that I'm a slave of God, you know, and not slave to anything or any other entity, man, or anything. So that's Sharif in a nutshell. Everything else that I do should support that. A lot of people know me for being an owner of WeBuyBlack.com, an online marketplace where we circulate millions of dollars in the African-American community. But even indirectly, we preserve and keep billions of dollars within the African-American community. And that's something I'm sure we'll talk about.
Yeah.
But I'm a family man. I've been married for 13 years. I have 4 children, and I do my best to take care of them, as well as take care of my community. I am a community man. I travel weekly to different cities to support our community beyond, economics, but just in other areas that you know, I may be helpful for. So in a nutshell, that's who I am.
And talk to me a little bit about the genesis of, you know, We Buy Black. Like, what sparked the idea that you wanted to create a marketplace where we supported our own?
Well, you know, to be honest, when I was at Howard University, I was studying sociology and community development, and every, you know, every time we'll have class, you know, we will sort of talk about the statistics within the African-American community. You know, like, we would have the highest poverty rate, the highest homelessness rate, joblessness rate, et cetera. And I always wanted to create some type of solution to combat that, right? I've been an entrepreneur all my life. In fact, I believe the brother before, you know, he was talking about on one of your previous episodes, he was speaking of, you know, he remembered him having a job that was paying $10 an hour. You know, I never had that experience.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, and there's pros and cons to that. You know, so I knew that while I was a student, I was sort of freed up, you know, to really think about what it is that I wanted to do to help serve our community. And I was listening on my way to school one day. I was listening to a lecture by Imam Wafdi Muhammad. And he had said, a lot of you all are looking for your market. He said, but I want you to look around you. Look at the people right next to you. He said, that's your market. And when he said that, it hit me. Because just a few years before that, maybe in, this was in 2008, I was drop shipping on Amazon, mm-hmm. you know, and I was, I don't know if it's 2008, whatever year I was 15, mm-hmm. 15 years ago,
yeah, yeah.
whatever year that was,
yeah.
But I was drop shipping on Amazon and they end up kicking me off of Amazon. Mm-hmm. I was doing pretty well
at 15 years old. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Before that became popular, you
right.
know?
Right, yep.
They end up kicking me off. And I remember when I got kicked off, I was saying, you know what, like, we should do something like this in the future, you know, for black people, right. you know. But I got kicked off because I should have got kicked off,
right.
you know. But anyway, fast forward, and when I heard him say that, that those around you are your market, mm-hmm. then I started to think about, well, who around me is creating something that I could support, mm. and what is it that I can create so that someone else could support?
Mm.
And that idea justified a solution for the statistics that I was hearing in class.
Yeah.
It said, okay, well, you need to create a platform mm-hmm. where you could help circulate those dollars in your community mm-hmm. because the black community is the largest hiring agent outside of the government within the community.
Yeah.
So if you're going to combat homelessness, joblessness, which ultimately leads to crime and imprisonment,
facts.
Then you have to touch that entity, that single entity that's supporting the black community, which is black businesses.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's how it formed, and that's where it started. That was the genesis of it.
Yeah. Yeah, and so now, years later, what kind of impact has We Buy Black have on the black community, but mm-hmm. also on the nation?
Yeah, for sure. So first I would say, you know, when we wanted to start the company, I didn't know what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I sacrificed 3 months of my summer mm-hmm. to learn how to build a site.
Mm-hmm.
So I built the first iteration of We Buy Black in 2015. And when I built it, it crashed.
Mm.
So when it crashed, because of so many people that tried to get on the site
mm-hmm.
and support, I raised some funds. I worked with another brother within our community, paid him around $30,000 that was crowdfunded.
Mm-hmm.
And the site that we launched was strong.
Mm.
And within that first year or two, I believe we circulated like $1 million on the site or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
But that was my promise.
Yeah.
My promise was, is if we could crowdfund $30,000, I'm mm. going to help our community circulate $1 million.
Mm.
I didn't know how long it would take.
Yeah.
And you know, or how you know short of time it would take. But that was the promise that I made to the community.
Mm-hmm.
But then I realized that I was up against something bigger. You know, I was up against something a little bit more of a monster mm-hmm. that I didn't really know before. I was a little naive, and what that is that our community really to this, you know, we see it. We even see it now heightened.
Mm-hmm.
But we could see it historically. Our community suffer from self-hate,
mm.
you know, and it's strong.
Yeah.
It's strong. And it appears in many different ways, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But if we ever have to question why you have to say something like We Buy Black,
mm-hmm.
why do you have to even say that?
Right.
No one else has to say something like that. No,
yeah.
Nor the group of people have to say something like that.
Yeah.
But that is indicative of the condition in which we're in.
Yeah.
That we have to be outwardly promoting the need for us to support our own self.
Yeah.
And
which when you say it,
yeah.
sounds crazy to me.
It does, yeah.
When
yeah.
you say it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But like you said, mm-hmm. nobody else has to say it because when you look at other communities, mm. You never see a black business in or any other business yeah. in their communities, mm. but our community is the melting
yeah.
pot.
Yeah, and yeah. even if you did see a business within their community,
yeah.
they still own their community,
mm.
right? Like mm. it's no, you know, you could have it, the community could be primarily black.
Yeah.
But they may own that community still,
mm.
right? Like we know of neighborhoods that were owned by groups of people
yeah.
that were not black.
Yeah.
But black people, they never owned it. They didn't own the buildings, mm. right? They didn't own anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were happy, like in the black community, we would be happy if we had a grocery store,
mm-hmm.
for example, that, you know, that it was a black-owned grocery store.
Yeah.
We would flock to it. In fact, you know, 3-4 years ago, you had a young sister out in California.
Mm-hmm.
we had people flying from Atlanta to go visit her in California because she opened up her own grocery store.
Yeah.
And that was a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
However, there's, again, there's something that we, that is up against us that we have to really submit to. And that is that it doesn't matter if you own the grocery store, right? If 99% of the products in the grocery store are not yours, then the spirit of, you don't control the spirit of that grocery store.
Wow. Yeah.
Right? You don't control the blood of that grocery store. You don't control the life force of that grocery store. The products in the store, in any store, is like the blood or like the life force of that store.
Yeah.
And every time you bring in new products and every time new products leave, it affects the life of that store. But the products that are sitting on the shelf, they're not ours. I'm going to tell you a quick story. We had we had a large corporate entity that, that had called us, and they said that you know, they just ramped up their supply diversity program, and they wanted to see and include We Buy Black in some form or fashion. They didn't have a, they didn't have an idea of what. So we had a meeting with their corporate team, and they had two black representatives on the call, and they started to go into how they wanted to see, how they envisioned seeing, you know, a black woman on a billboard for this particular company. And I'm hoping I don't slip into saying their name, but if I do, you know, it's fine. But they that's what they envisioned. Yeah. And I told them, I said, you know what? We don't necessarily need.
Hey, what's up, y'all? It's Ash Cash, the financial motivator. If you're looking to spend 5 days with Ash Cash, Marvin Mitchell, Storm Leroy, and let us teach you how to make, manage, and multiply your money, then you need to join us for our five-day challenge. We have helped thousands of people learn how to get to the next level, exclusively spending time with us, teaching you how to become your own bank, teaching you how to create the systems so that you can have a legacy for your children's children, and also how to create 15 streams of income from digital currency. So listen, I need you to hit the link below, up top, to the left, to the right, but I need you to join us. The five-day challenge, we have our general admission, we have VIP, and we even have a platinum where you can spend time, ask us questions. So meet us there. We'll see you in our five-day challenge and teach you to how to get on your path to prosperity, y'all. Let's go.
Black women or black men on a billboard. For your company. We don't need representation.
Yeah.
Not when I come into your store and over 90% of the products in your store are not coming from our community. And their mouth like dropped. And I was like, and I know you all checked me out before I got on this call.
Right.
So you know I could care less about being on your shelf.
Right, right, right.
But if you call me and say that you want to help with the movement, want to help support our community, then I'm not going to let you dictate how that's going to go.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm going to at least give you some ideas. And one idea is that we're creating alternatives for every product that you have on a shelf right now. We're creating alternatives within our community to be placed on that. I'm not saying take the products that you currently got down. But what I am saying is that if you are true in what you're saying, then allow me to put together a deck with all of these companies that we can put as alternatives on your shelf.
Yeah.
Right. And that moved that company to work with us. And in fact, we already got three brands that are going to be on the shelf for this particular for this particular entity. And we're creating a program that's going to allow for more companies within our community to be able to enter into these in, onto the shelf. Because I made a mistake one time.
Yeah.
This is important. Maybe about 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago, in 2018. No, what is that? That's 3 years ago?
So the 18,
that's 5 years
five,
man, time flying.
Right.
But 5 years ago, I made a mistake because I had a large company, probably the largest retail company, reached out to us, and they said that they wanted to create an area within their particular store. It was Walmart.
Okay.
I'm just going to say. They, they wanted to create an area in their particular store titled We Buy Black.
Wow.
Wanted us to feel that section up with black owned products. And I asked them, I said, was it going to be one store, et cetera? They said, no, we're going to put this all across the nation.
Wow.
And I believe at that time, probably 2,000 some stores.
Yep.
And I remember what I felt like. And I remember like relaxing a bit, taking a breath, and then telling them no. Yeah. And that was Not once, but three times.
Wow.
Yeah, three different meetings.
Why no?
Yeah, so it was, you said why no?
Yeah, why no? Yeah, yeah.
You know what? I didn't know what I knew now. You know, in the movement, in this movement, sometimes you could get real lonely. And you can't trust everybody.
Right.
And you could be called, God could call you for something, right? Yeah. He could call you to do something. And when he calls you to do something, sometimes you sort of got to be very careful.
Yeah.
Because you could become stubborn.
Yeah.
You could start to get in your own way.
Yeah.
And that's what ended up happening. I saw where we needed to go.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about where we need to go, but not necessarily all of the steps that I could take in order to get us there. So my mind was like, nah, we could create our own. We don't need you.
Yeah.
And I was trying to prove to our community that we could do it ourselves. Because every day I got home, I'm reading emails of people telling me, we can't do this, Sharif. We're not capable, Sharif. We're not da-da-da. And I had to tell myself, I said, no, nah, I'm going to prove to y'all we could do this. We could do it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why you probably saw me. I used to go in Walmart.
Yeah.
Right? And I used to be like, all right, y'all, Sharif right here with We About Black. I'm standing right here on aisle 27.
Yeah.
This is where the light bulb's at. This is a multi-billion-dollar industry.
Yeah.
And it was a black man that founded the light bulb, but he didn't get credit.
Right.
So we're going to circulate all these dollars back in our community. Let's get somebody to start their own light bulb company. Who's going to take this task up?
Yeah.
And you had people was like, oh, I take the task up.
Yeah.
But we got a brother named Rob out of Austin, Texas, who called me and was like, yo, I'm on this.
Yeah.
And he flew straight to Atlanta. He put the money down. I connected him with the people.
Yeah.
And within a couple of months, he had his own light bulb. Ujamaa Light Bulbs is on the market right now.
Wow.
And not only is it on the market, the brother's actually thriving.
Yeah.
Right? So I made a point to say, okay, I'm not going to be in your store, but I'm going to help create alternatives to be alternatives to the products that are actually in your store.
Yeah.
And I wish that I didn't go to that extreme.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that I asked God to forgive me for because that was an opportunity that could have saved somebody their family business.
Right. 100%.
It was an opportunity that, you know, could have kept somebody their home.
Yeah.
Could have preserved a marriage.
Yeah.
Right. Could have put a college student through college.
Yeah.
Paid for books.
Yeah.
And if not more.
Yeah.
You know, and I was always willing to sort of sacrifice.
Yeah.
You know, not having anything so that we could all get somewhere and have something together.
Yeah.
You know, and but you know, I mean, but again, like I said, if that is probably something I would go back and change.
That's powerful. And so many messages in that, right? Because, you know, a lot of times, like you said, like on the, you know, on the movement, and it's not even just the movement, it's it's in everything where you're looking to go to a next level, right? You've been called. God has called you for a mission. And you're so laser focused on the mission where because God called you, God is also providing you resources as well to get to that mission, you know? And a lot of times, like you said, we get stubborn and say, all right, we're only going to do it this way and not really take on the resources and, you know, things that could potentially help us, you know, get to that next level.
Yeah.
But also, you know, there is something just to be said about awareness, right? Because also, and I believe that, you know, God allows us to go through certain things just so that, you know, we could gain that awareness, right? Because when you think about, you know, like I always hear a lot of people who only thank God for the good in their life, right? Like, this thing happened, thank you, God. But then when something else happens, the devil's a liar,
right?
But the truth is that if God knows all, right? God can see all. God knows where you weak. And God knows, you know, what you could potentially succumb to. And if you're being called for this very important mission, then let me tempt you with you know, let me show you, you know, this part of you that could be caught, that could be costing you this mission. So that way this negative thing or this wrong thing or this thing that we call the devil is actually provided by God to wake us up, right?
Yeah,
and that's actually how I view negativity. Like, I don't believe in negative and positive. I think all things are working for my greater good.
Yeah.
And the negative things are just these things to kind of wake us up.
That's right. Yeah.
And so, you know, when you think about us having this level of self-hate as a community, part of that is to wake us up.
Yeah.
Right? It's part of that is to, you know, get us to fully understand, like, yo, like, why do I hate myself? Why do I, you know, why don't I accept the abundance? Why don't I accept my position in this lifetime?
Yeah.
And so what are some of those steps that you believe that we could take to start to embrace us as a people and love us as a community?
You know, I think you actually even said it, man. And I don't know if you intentionally did that, but you said it. I think that we have to recognize that we are created in abundance.
Yes.
And that God is abundant.
Yes.
That and if you have God, then you have abundance. Mm. You know, it reminds me of it's actually a chapter in Quran. It's actually called Abundance, Kauthar.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, God tells Muhammad the prophet, inna atayna kal kauthar, that verily, you know, you have an abundance. Mm-hmm. What you have is abundance.
Mm-hmm.
And during the time of the prophet, people used to tease him and mock him because he didn't have any sons.
Mm.
And sons during that time was very important for people because it represented, you know, your legacy. Right. And they were mocking him as a leader that, you know, this is y'all leader. Mm-hmm. But he don't even have any sons.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just that he didn't have sons. He had sons, but they died in infancy.
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine how hurtful that could be.
Mm-hmm.
So God revealed this particular chapter, letting Muhammad the prophet know that you have me.
Mm-hmm.
And by you having me, you have not only a legacy, but you have abundance.
Mm-hmm.
And then he ends that surah off by saying that those who are against you, who hate you, who mock you, then they are the ones that are actually cut off. Abtar, he used the word. So the word that they were using to say that he was cut off, God uses that word to say that they're cut off. And I think that if we recognize that God is the creator of everything,
yes,
the owner of everything, then we recognize, too, that we don't own anything. So, you know, in my business, you know, at some point, I wanted to own everything.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least control everything.
Yeah.
I didn't really want too many people close to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and my staff, everyone noticed that. It was people that reached out to me, man, for so many partnerships and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And these people that I was good with, you know what I mean? I knew, but it was just that I did not want to, and it never had anything to do with money, ever.
Yeah.
It has something to do with I didn't want to relinquish something that I felt that if I did, I would jeopardize the mission. That was scary to me.
Yeah.
You know, so, but I realized that there is a certain level of a process of due diligence that you should always take.
Mm-hmm.
And then in order for you to have trust in anyone, then you have to have some level of vulnerability, you know, even in a marriage. You can't really trust your spouse or love your spouse if you don't really have some level of vulnerability. You have to relinquish something.
Yeah.
And that same level in thought, we have that with God, that you can't truly be, as God says in the Quran, he says you don't say that you are a believer and expect not to be tested, right? So this kind of speaking what you just talked to.
Yeah.
That's why I said you kind of said it what you were saying. You can't say that you're a believer
and
not expect to be tested.
Yeah.
So if you are a believer, you should know that there's going to be a lot of tests that's going to come.
Yeah.
So, and if you are striving to do the right thing, then it's not necessarily a punishment.
Mm-hmm.
What it is because a punishment is like fire. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you grow up and you get spanked on the butt. You know what I mean? That felt like fire on your butt.
Right.
You know, but, you know, Ramadan, too, as Muslim, we go through a period of Ramadan. You know, Ramadan actually means heat.
Mm-hmm.
But heat is a form of purification.
Yeah.
You use fire to help purify certain things, like water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I believe that, you know, that's how we have to look at the world.
Yeah.
You know, look at, one, we have to be very clear as a people.
Mm-hmm.
As a people, we have to be very clear on what it is that God wants for us.
Mm-hmm.
and to know that God is the most just, mm-hmm. that the circumstances that we have in this life is that it is not necessarily meant to be forever, mm-hmm. right? And even if you have someone that is born in this world, like a Harriet Tubman, mm-hmm. you know, Harriet Tubman, I mean, I don't know if you've seen her last picture. Mm-hmm. Harriet Tubman went through fire.
Yeah.
She went through fire. And she didn't really have paradise in this life, mm-hmm. right? We could see that. You know, she constantly had to struggle.
Yeah.
But as you mentioned, you know, positive and negative. Mm-hmm. Everything that God creates, as he says, everything that he creates in pairs. Mm-hmm. And by him creating everything in pairs, then that means that he gave justice to everything. Mm. A woman by herself is not just. Mm. A man by himself is not just. Mm. But a man and a woman together, that's a form of justice. Mm. Right? Like, you can't build anything. You can't even have electricity without positive and negative charges. Mm-hmm. There's nothing in the world that operates on its own.
Yeah.
And we as a community, we've been taught individually to operate on our own.
Yeah.
And this has been, they're funding this. Mm. Listen to what I'm saying. They're funding right now for our community to believe that all we have to do is make money, mm-hmm. live the American dream, mm-hmm. get a nice house, mm-hmm. get a nice car, mm-hmm. and not have any social obligation to our community.
Yeah.
So you find people within our community who I've helped, mm-hmm. many of them who I've helped, make a lot of money.
Yeah.
Then they go off about their life. Mm-hmm. They got a passport now.
Right.
And they doing their thing somewhere else.
Yeah.
And it's like, but what about us?
Right.
What about the community?
Yeah.
It was the community that you use that to really get them to where they at.
Yeah.
But now that they got there, they forget about everybody else. And that's actually a sin. Mm. That's actually a sin. And it's only in due time in which everything will collapse. Mm-hmm. So my thought around this whole thing is that if we want to really make a lasting impact, mm-hmm. we have to, because you mentioned that about We By Black,
yeah.
we have to, one, identify what is it that God wants for us, mm-hmm. not what it is that I want for myself,
yeah.
not listening to somebody and get inspired by what they're saying and say, that's what I want from them.
Yeah.
But what is it that God want for me? Uh-huh, uh-huh. And God says that in the Quran, he says the prayer of the believer is Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhabannar. Our Lord, give us the most excellent of this life here.
This life, yeah.
Right here where we at. Yeah. I want the most excellent of this life.
Yeah.
Wa fil akhirati hasana. And the most excellent of the next life.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So I don't want just... It's one thing. So we know a lot of people that got the excellence of this life.
Yeah, yeah.
100%. And sometimes that could be discouraging. Mm. Like, man, I'll be busting my ass. Man, I'm a believer in God. I'm looking at these people. They got everything.
Yeah.
But God's saying that he wants you to get in a competition and go get it too. Mm. He created you with the same abilities as he created anybody else.
Right.
Whether they good or bad.
Yeah.
Evil or not evil.
Yeah.
He created all of us with the same resources to get out there and get into the competition.
Yeah.
And have the best life that we could have in this life.
Yeah.
However, don't forget or don't prioritize this life over the next life.
Mm-hmm.
Don't prioritize this life over the next life.
Yeah.
So that means get the most out of you could get out of this. Like, I'm shooting for billions.
Right, right.
Don't 100%. Get it twisted.
Yes, sir.
And we're going to get there. Right. I'm shooting for billions.
Right.
But not only am I shooting for billions,
yeah.
I'm not going to let billions jeopardize the life after this life. Mm. Because the life after this life gives justice to this life here.
Mm.
No matter how much hell I've been through in this life.
Yeah.
God going to balance it out with what's coming next.
Yeah.
And if people believe that there is no next life, mm-hmm. which I know a lot of people do,
mm-hmm.
then how do you justify Harriet Tubman and all of what she went through?
Yeah.
How do you justify all of our leaders and all of what they're doing? You think that the people that enslaved us, they just get away with that?
Yeah.
And that they're not going to have to face God after this life?
Yeah.
Hell
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
If you are a black person in America, you have to believe in the next life.
Yeah.
Because the next life give us justice.
Yeah.
For what for all of the hell in which we experience.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that allows for us to really continue in this mission is by knowing that God is with us in this life,
mm-hmm.
and that he's going to be with us in the next life.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's powerful. And so as you think about, you know, your mission with We By Black and, you know, where... you know, you want to take the company, where do you think we are headed as a community, like the black community? Where are we headed?
Yeah, man. You know, We By Black is an aspect for people that know me. It's an aspect of my life, you know, and I'm looking for more help with the company.
Yeah.
Because this is an opportunity for us to really show that we do love ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, I have people, man, that come to us with you know, making $5,000 a month, you know, and we'll grow their business to doing $1 million in a year. Mm. Very, like, it's in the process, it's easy. Matter of fact, it becomes, like, we've been doing it for so long, you know, we're at a point right now where we have a program that we're getting ready to launch. Mm-hmm. It's called 100 to 1 million. Mm. So we're taking 100 businesses to help them make their first $1 million within 365 days, right? Like, we already lined up the process. We've done it over and over again. Mm-hmm. But I believe that, here's what I believe. I believe that the black community needs to have representation.
Mm. Okay.
They need to have representation, very similar to these other corporate companies. They just need representation. Yeah. We need representation.
Yeah.
We need to see a small group of African Americans, or just black people in general, really, who can come together, live amongst each other, do right amongst each other, marry amongst each other, buy products amongst each other, support each other's services and businesses, and raise families with each other, live in a community with each other, buy land together, and establish rules and guidelines to support the land in which we purchase and our operations upon that land. So we need to have a model community, in my opinion.
Yeah.
We need to have a model community that negates all of the negative stereotypes that have been placed upon us. And it doesn't have to be a lot of people.
Yeah.
It could be a small group of people. It could be us. Like, we could come together and have 10 families.
Yeah.
And we could identify some land. We could get with somebody who's an architect, draw out our homes. We could purchase the land on the homes. Purchase the land, build the home, and then live amongst that, protect that, and then expand that. We could go out to people who we know that are similar to us and say, welcome to our neighborhood. We bought more land and we want you to live here. And here's our rules here, our guidelines for living on this particular land. I believe that our community needs to see representation in that. We talk about Black Wall Street so much so that I think that we sort of memorialize it. Like, this is something that we would never accomplish again.
Right.
It's a street.
Yeah.
It's Black Wall Street. This is not difficult.
Right.
Right? We making it more difficult than what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, technically it was a neighborhood, you know what I mean? But I'm saying that we can do this really anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that if the black community, and it's not just the black community, man. I'm going to just be honest with you. It's really the world.
Yeah.
Because the black community is a microcosm of what is to be expected for the rest of the world. We have always been the test agents. So they take the black community and they will say, like, so in the early 1900s, less than 20% of our households were absent without a father. Today, over 70% of African American households are being led or they're absent, they're fatherless. So that is like, even in the 1900s, when it was less than 20%, that was like what the men in that community went frantic. They knew they had to do something about that.
Yeah.
Right? Like, but if you ever look at any community where more than 70% of the males are not present, it just means that they just went to war. So they killed off a lot of the men. That's all.
Yeah.
And then the community has to come together and regroup.
Yeah.
But we live in a community where that's the same circumstance, but we just go about our day acting like ain't nothing wrong with us.
Yeah.
So in my opinion, the African American community, again, is a group that is being used by the devil. Listen to what I'm saying. Being used by the devil to affect the rest of the world. A lot of times we just feel like the devil against black folk. The devil coming for everybody. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So 70% of our households are absent without a father. It only means within 60 years, the white family's household is going to be 70% going to be absent without a father. That's all it means.
Yeah.
And if you study those statistics of what I'm saying, look at the statistics of the African-American community and look at where we were 60 years ago. That's where everyone is at now. So this is how it works. So I think that when we
come together to save our community. Mm. By giving it proper representation, people need to be able to see a model. Mm. Then not only are we saving the black community, but consequently, we saving the world.
Wow. And that's powerful. So, but a couple of things I want to unpack, though, because I feel like one of the reasons why we won't get representation, or not, but we won't get representation, but there's hesitance to get representation, is because of the things that happened in the past. When you start thinking about the Black Wall Streets and the things of that nature, Rosewood and all of these other communities in which we have decided to come together, jealousy, hatred tears those things down. And so there almost becomes this thought process amongst people that say to themselves, why would we make ourselves targets and sit in ducks and things of that nature? What's your thoughts?
That's a great point, man. Yeah. You know, I remember one time I stepped on an ant farm, you know, an ant house, whatever they call them, you know, and I stepped on one and I came back the next day and it was rebuilt. And the first time I stepped on it by accident, second time I stepped on it on purpose, because I'm like, you know, it was, I was a child at this, you know, I probably was no more than 10.
Yeah.
I stepped on it again and I'm like, did they just build this again overnight?
Yeah.
I stepped on it again and I came back the next day and their home was built again. And that never left me. You know, the greatest thing that they can do to us is to kill our spirit. Because, and this is not just exclusive to Muslims. This is in all the Abrahamic faiths. You look at the Torah, the Bible. We have the story of Adam. But Adam wasn't significant. He wasn't anything until God put his spirit within him. That's when Adam became the threat. Adam became the one, according to the Quran, that to give names to all of the angels, right? And to be able to lead society once he had the spirit. So people who are ruling the world, they know that. They know that.
Yeah.
So their job is to kill the spirit of our people.
Yeah.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow. I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
You look at a lot of ancient figures and you see the nose knocked off. Mm-hmm. It's not because of, you know, an asteroid or something came
right
out.
Right.
No, that the nose is representing of your spirit, of inspiration.
Yeah.
And when it take the nose off, it means that they killing the spirit of that people. Mm. So really the nose of our community has been knocked off. Mm. And people who are trying to put the spirit back into our community, they're the biggest threat. Mm. So really what we have to do is we have to speak highly of our community.
Yeah.
We have to let our community know that it is possible.
Absolutely.
We have to give them concrete examples of like, this is what it's going to take in order for us to reestablish this.
Yeah.
And a lot of times when you have that, and this is why I would warn most people, because I know young brothers that are doing this, and I know they mean well, but they have to, and I'm asking them to, on this podcast, that they have to preserve their morality. Mm. It's going to be very important.
Yeah.
This is the reason why. It's because once you step into this field of this particular work, then you're a target. Mm-hmm. And the only way that they can hurt you really is not by killing you. Mm-hmm. Is by destroying your reputation in the eyes of your community.
Yeah.
And the only way they can destroy your reputation in the eyes of your community is by getting you on a moral level, taking you down morally.
Yeah.
And if they could take you down morally, I'm asking these brothers to be very careful because, you know, let me say this: if someone was to catch me doing something bad, then I'd rather go out letting my community know I failed you, and I'll be willing to kill myself. Mm. What we don't need is people weak that they will fail their community and then they will now become a tool for someone else to be able to use them within our community.
Right.
Mm. We don't need that.
Yeah.
We don't need you going out doing something that you know you shouldn't be doing, getting caught, they capturing it and then using that against you, using that against you or using what they have against you on our own community.
Absolutely.
We don't need that.
It's funny you say that because... you know, that's what it looks like, right? When you see those who are leaders or supposed to be leaders or who look like they're leading all of a sudden start to derail and go into different directions, you kind of wonder, like why are you leading our people this wrong direction now? And I know for me, like I've always questioned, like I wonder... are there the powers that be that are holding, holding something against someone, like holding something against them and making them kind of go in that direction? And so if I hear you correctly, it's like if you're for the community and really want to build a community, you have to be of strong moral character.
That's right, yeah.
Right, in order to... you know, be a positive representation. Yeah. How do we do that though when our community focuses on sort of like the worst parts of us to choose as leaders, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, there are a lot of us in the community who are putting out positive messages and, podcasts like this and movements and things of that nature. But our community gravitates to the ratchetness and the music and the things that, and they hail those people as leaders, if you will, which makes it kind of tough to combat that. Like, how do we sort of like penetrate, if you will, that idolization of the immoral parts of our community?
No, that's a hell of a question, man, because that's literally what we have to do, right?
Yeah.
I believe that you have to get with like-minded people. Mm. You know, it's like war. Mm-hmm. You know, you out there fighting a war by yourself, you know, the chances are you ain't going to win.
Yeah.
You know, no matter how good of a person you are, you know what I mean? Yeah. So you have to get with like-minded people. Mm-hmm. And then you also have to know what areas to hit first. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you could go after such a large beast that you could risk losing the whole mission that you worked so hard to establish.
So sometimes it's better to target other smaller elements mm-hmm. within that that beast that mm-hmm. you're trying to target. It's like David, you know, you don't mm-hmm. he ain't hit him in the foot,
facts,
right? You don't hit him in the shoulder, mm-hmm. right? Because it wasn't going to do anything for the foot mm-hmm. or the shoulder. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you have to hit areas that are a little bit more sensitive. Mm-hmm. That could knock out the consciousness of that group. And mm. I think that's really what it is that yeah. a lot of our people, they're just not conscious.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If they knew that they were really smelling feces,
right
there, you know what I mean? But somebody convinced them that feces smells good. Mm. And it's sometimes it's just a matter of time before they have to realize it, mm-hmm. right? People have to sometimes go down a long road of hardship mm-hmm. before they sort of wake up. Mm-hmm. And sort of change their way. Mm-hmm. I think that we should be focused in on that group for mm-hmm. sure, but we should be spending more time mm-hmm. focusing on a conscious group.
Yes,
and bringing together the conscious group. I see a lot of people who mean well, but they speak heavily against those who are not conscious mm-hmm. or in that sort of immoral state.
Yeah.
That causes a lot of problems for our community.
Yeah.
You know, it caused a lot of problems for even things like We Buy Black, mm-hmm. believe it or not. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you an example of how. At some point, when we first started, it was just only like 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. But when we first started, we say We Buy Black, everyone's like, oh, no, we can't do it, da, 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 da. Mm-hmm. Eventually, people started to say, man, you know what, this thing is working. You know, we watching people make money and, you know, and now they got their own product. We got bread on the market, mm-hmm. laundry detergent, toothbrushes, toothpaste, all this type of stuff. We got all this stuff. Mm-hmm. People start to feel it.
Yeah,
you had movements, mm-hmm. Influences that mm. penetrated our community. Mm. They said, okay, what they're really doing mm. is that they're making money by creating product mm. to sustain their family. Mm. What we should do mm. is influence them to just make money. And that's it. Mm. Disconnected from family.
Wow.
Let's put a movement out there to just talk about how much money we can make as a people, mm. and don't let it connect back to family at all. Mm. And these are the efforts that in which they fund and they support. Mm. So you know what I would say is that when we're conscious enough, we have to let people know why it's important.
Yeah.
Right. Why is it important to bring it back to the family?
Yeah.
You know, like I know you all have episodes on like generational wealth and mm-hmm. trust funds and et cetera. Mm-hmm. That's very important to talk about.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right. Because that's connected to what? That's connected to family.
It's a family. Yeah.
That's connected to family. And we can't lose that.
Yeah.
Because the moment we do lose that, the moment we lose the importance of family, then we really lose the whole movement. Mm-hmm. It's like, why am I? What's the purpose of me making this money now?
Yeah.
Like at first it was to take care of my family,
right?
Make sure that we straight.
Yeah.
Majority of divorces happen because of financial issues, yep. so we could rectify that. Then we more than likely will be able to stay together longer. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, we could provide the proper education for our children, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But now there's been influences that penetrated our movement mm-hmm. to try to take it in a different direction. Mm-hmm. So we have to strategize on how do we bring it back home mm. because we're actually at war.
Right.
You know, we put out a blow. They say, well, damn, they don't shook it up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, black people one thing, like they don't shook it up.
Yeah.
So then they come in and they strategize and say, okay, let's figure out how we're going to work this thing.
Yeah.
And then they come with a strategy.
Yeah.
And that's fine. We mm-hmm. we know when we signed up for this what we up against.
Yeah.
Right. And we should all know that. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, okay, that's their move. Then let's counter and let's throw back our move.
Yeah.
That's what we really, that's the type of level of engagement we should really be giving it. You could say the devil or whatever people believe. Mm-hmm. But those negative forces that are actively working, mm-hmm. they ain't sleeping either. You know, mm-hmm. we'd be like, man, we ain't sleeping, we grinding.
Yeah.
He ain't sleeping either.
Right.
And he grinding.
Right.
To ensure that what we are doing won't have any lasting value.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah. And so talk a little, because you mentioned family, right? Mm. You've been married for 13 years, mm. You know, beautiful children. Mm. How has marriage helped you, like, mm. as a businessman, as a man of the community? How's that helped?
Yeah, for sure, man. So I actually got married when I was 17. Mm. I was still in high school. When we moved from D.C., And D.C. was wild at that time, mm-hmm. you know, for all of those who from know D.C. or from D.C. And I was born and raised in Southeast D.C. Mm. And my neighborhood what I had to navigate was pretty tough, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember my parents sending me and my brother when they moved us to, they sent us to Atlanta so we go to boarding school here. Mm. W.D. Muhammad High School. Mm-hmm. We were sent here to go to that school, and I ended up living with in seven different homes within 5 years.
Wow.
Now, when I was here, it matured me very quickly. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, I was already making money, mm-hmm. you know, and then I met my wife, when she was 14. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I remember saying I wanted to get married to her, mm-hmm. you know, at that age. And I ended up approaching her father when I was 16, mm-hmm. trying to get married to her. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because I wanted to do things right. You know yeah. what I mean? As Muslims, we don't believe in fornication, anything like that. Mm-hmm. And I never played that line. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So I wanted to do things the right way. Mm-hmm. So I remember, man, I went from low twos. I probably had I didn't even come to class, be honest with you.
Yeah.
I was always smart.
Yeah.
So I would show up for test day, mm-hmm. and I would just ace the test.
Yeah.
But I did poorly I didn't even come to my classes, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I remember I had like a low 2, probably 2.1 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I decided to get married, you know, my wife, she had a 4.0. Mm. And I remember, man, I went from a 2.1 to when we got married, went from 2.1 to a 4.0, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. you know, and we both graduated with a 4.0 out of the school.
Nice.
You know, and but I would best answer that question is that it's very important in marriage and in business to understand roles and yeah. responsibilities.
Yeah.
Roles and responsibilities. Anytime you live in a society where, you know, roles become convoluted, mm. it's just basically saying that society is on its way to destruction. Mm. It's just like a business.
Yeah.
You know, business, you got people that got roles and set up, but once you got the janitor trying to tell the boss, mm. you know, what to do and what not to do,
yeah.
that could become very problematic.
Yeah.
You know, or you have the boss over there trying to take the, you know, and do the work of the janitor. Mm-hmm. That could become mm-hmm. very problematic because
yeah.
now you both are not operating in your roles.
Mm-hmm.
And my family, you know, my wife and my wife and her family, and me and my family, we both had an example of a beautiful marriage that our families came from.
Yeah.
And her parents are still married for over 40 years to this day. Mm-hmm. I lost my mother 3 years ago, mm-hmm. but they were married for over 30 years.
Wow.
So, you know, that is, for me, what's most important is being able to understand how marriage works,
mm-hmm.
right? Most people don't understand how it works.
Yeah.
They just think that if you marry a person that you love, mm-hmm. then everything after that is just, what they say, happily ever after.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if we read those books, happily ever after, they just
right.
end like that. It don't work like that.
Right.
You know, you always have to have ups and downs.
Yeah.
Just like in the business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're always going to have ups and downs in your business.
Mm-hmm.
But those who are successful,
yeah,
and the only ones that are successful are the ones that stick to it.
Mm.
You have 90, I don't know the statistics, you all probably know better than me, but of small businesses, over 90% of them fail within the first 5 years. I think it's yeah. like 95%.
Yeah, 95, yeah.
95% fail within yeah. the first 5 years. Those that actually remain, it's not that they didn't go through hardship like the other 95%.
Mm-hmm.
They did.
Yeah.
But they just stuck to it.
Yep.
And yeah. sometimes it takes 10 years for them to actually have a breakthrough.
Yeah.
Right? So I believe marriage really conditioned me in business
mm-hmm.
to recognize that you're going to always have ups and downs.
Mm.
Sometimes I could be down in my business, but mm-hmm. up in my marriage.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm like, all right, it's cool. Like, yeah. so what?
Right, right.
You know, and then sometimes it could be opposite. Sometimes
yeah.
you could be down in your marriage, but be up in your business.
Yeah.
You know, and then sometimes that lasts you over. It's like, all right, look, I know things ain't working out, but here's $3,000, go shopping, you know.
Right.
It could, you know what I mean? It right. just depends.
Right.
But it really is a training ground.
Yeah.
And it helps preserve you.
Yeah.
Because I watch a lot of young brothers, man. You know, I be in the gym,
mm-hmm.
and I be, you know, I'm working out,
mm-hmm.
and I see the young brothers, man. They watching the girl, and they lose. They ain't even able
yeah,
to work out.
Right,
you know,
right,
they probably
right.
go chase her down and stuff like that. But I'm
yeah.
able to get in at this particular time and get out at that particular time.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think that marriage is so many lessons.
Yeah.
within it, that I believe that, you know, just by God prescribing it, it is proof that God actually loves us. Just by him prescribing, it's proof that he loves us.
Yeah.
And I watch people who are actually not married.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, see, in marriage, you have a commitment.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we got a contract.
Right.
We, you know, we're going to have ups and downs.
Right.
You know, that ain't going to change.
Mm-hmm.
But contractually, we got to stay together.
Right.
People who are not married, they go through ups and downs too.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no contract for them to stay together.
Mm.
So therefore, the likelihood of them not being successful is extremely higher than a person who's actually married.
Mm.
So I hear people put statistics out there. I heard it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not really stats. It's really their opinion.
Yeah.
But they say, you know, I think it was Lala Anthony. I think she said something like, it might not have been Lala. It was somebody. Yeah, don't give me, I don't.
Right, right.
But, you know, I think she said something like, you know, majority of the marriages I know, they just seem like they're not happy.
Yeah.
You know, and she kind of went down that train.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, it's interesting because I'm not even going to say you're not right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even going to say you're not right.
Mm-hmm.
They may not be in a happy place at that moment,
mm-hmm.
right? Like I said, things go up and down.
Yeah.
But they have a contract that they got to stay together.
Mm-hmm.
And in that contract, you're going to have happy moments. It's like we may be in a bad space now,
mm-hmm.
but the fact that we got to stay together, then we got to work to make this better.
Right.
So you're obligated to make your situation better.
Right.
It's like people are in business. It is like, you're in business. You don't have your LLC. You don't have a legal formation,
mm-hmm.
right? By you not having legal formation, you can't sign contracts because
mm-hmm.
what you signing on behalf of.
Right.
You know, you could get sued, and there's more liability,
mm-hmm.
right? Like there's a lot of areas of issues that you allow to come into your personal space mm-hmm. or into your business when you don't have contracts in place.
Mm-hmm.
And she probably, I believe that she actually meant that
mm-hmm.
because I've watched her
mm-hmm.
and you know, and you're a reflection of the circle of your circle,
mm-hmm.
right? And if you want to get you're interested in partnering with somebody, look at their circle.
Right.
Look at who they surround themselves with.
Yeah.
And you could kind of tell what kind of business or what kind of operation you're getting ready to partner with.
Yeah.
So the fact that she said that, I didn't doubt whether or not what she said was true or not. Mm-hmm. I actually believe her.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But I believe that there's also a culture
mm-hmm.
to work against marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that we should speak on because it was married people who built this society.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It wasn't single folk.
Yep.
It was married people that built the society.
Yeah.
It was married people who signed that constitution.
Mm.
It was married people who are your religious leaders who keep your communities together.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so these are the type of things that we have to hone in on and pay close attention to.
Yeah. You know? And I, you know, I'm glad that you said that because I do notice that there is almost like a concerted effort to divide,
mm-hmm.
you know, men and women.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
like, there's men on social media,
yeah.
you know, going, like, they are bashing men
to
get women to say, yes, men ain't no good.
Mm-hmm.
There's women on social media bashing men. Saying I'm independent, I don't need no man. And those are the things that go viral. In fact, my wife and I were talking the other day, and we were like, are there even any conversations about healthy relationships or healthy marriages?
That's right. Yeah.
Like those don't go viral. Yeah. Like I don't see those go viral. Mm. So it does feel like there's a concerted effort to divide specifically the black man and the black woman, because even when you look at some of the shows and the movies that they're pushing, like I haven't seen more interracial commercials, shows. Mm. Like I see that a lot now. And now it's hard for me to find the representation of the strong black man, the strong, you know, the black woman together, like I'm not seeing that.
Yeah.
And again, knowing that, like you said, that it is those who are together who build strong societies.
That's right.
Like, what is the ultimate plan, you know, for us in our community. And so We Buy Black.
But I got it.
Okay, let's go.
Because I'm glad you raised that point, man. Yeah. That's a money thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to connect it back to We Buy Black. That's a money thing.
Yeah.
Listen, all right, let's give an example.
Yeah.
You have a married couple together,
mm-hmm.
and they have five children.
Yeah.
The man goes out, mm-hmm. and he has to buy groceries, mm-hmm. or the woman goes out, whatever the situation.
Mm-hmm.
But he goes to the meat market, and he buys a case of chicken for $35.
Mm-hmm.
This case of chicken will last a family for a whole month, mm-hmm. $35.
Yeah.
The wife tells him, okay, pick up greens, pick up this, pick up that. When he's done shopping, for the month, he spent maybe $300,
mm-hmm.
right? Family of five. It could be more. It could mm-hmm. be less. If I could get this family to break up,
mm-hmm.
then now the man has to go out and prepare his own meal.
Mm-hmm.
And 9 times out of 10, he ain't going to make it on his own.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to go to a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to go to a restaurant for survival.
Mm.
Listen to what I'm saying. He could go to the restaurant for survival. And he's going to spend $30, you know, $15 to $30 per meal.
Per meal, right.
And this man has to eat at least twice or three times a day.
Yes.
So now you're getting $60 out of this man a day for meals. But the woman, she could cook. Mm-hmm. Most women, you know, they get trained for this, right? Mm-hmm. And they kind of, growing up, they kind of realize that this may be what I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes, you know, in this society now, they push women to think that you shouldn't even cook
mm-hmm.
Or know how to cook.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't get it. I mean, I still try to learn a good dish every now and then, too.
Yeah, yeah.
But women, when they go to take pictures of their plate.
Mm-hmm.
They don't go just to eat.
Yeah.
They could eat something, but they going to show everybody what kind of meal that they got
mm-hmm.
on their own.
Yeah.
Mm. It's a difference.
Mm.
So now I got my shrimp and my lobster. I got this and I got that with my butter, this and all of
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Her meal is $100, right?
Yeah.
That's $160 in that day. And you're not talking about the five children that need to be fed.
Yeah.
This is what is we're up against. This is what we're up against. Because you have a family who could have spent close to $300, $400 in a month together.
Yeah,
but now they spending $300-$400 every 2-3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah,
and not only that, I got to dress different now.
Yeah,
I got to dress different because when I step out the house, I ain't married. I'm trying to impress every woman that's out there.
Right.
So I'm going to make an attempt to spend more money on my clothing.
Yeah,
you know, and the same thing with her.
Yeah.
So everything now has a price tag to it.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, the people who are behind this, they know that. Mm. They have to fund your detriment. They have to fund your destruction.
Yeah.
And in order for them to fund your, because your destruction is a business.
Mm-hmm.
And every business needs funding.
Mm.
Like, you know what I mean? These are things that we talk about.
Right,
but we don't realize that this is how it operates on the other side too.
Yeah.
They need funding to fund your destruction.
Mm.
And in order to fund it, they're going to get you to fund it.
Mm.
You're going to fund your own destruction.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we seeing all of this advertisement about breaking up families. That's not by coincidence.
Right, right.
That's purposeful.
Yeah.
If we could break up the family, we could make more money.
Yeah.
Because when a man is at home by himself and he's sick, his woman come, baby, you need some tea.
Yeah.
You need some help. When she's sick, he come, here goes some soup, here go this and that. They taking care of each other.
Yeah.
What happens when he's sick and he's alone?
Mm.
What happens when she's sick and when she's alone?
Mm.
What happens when you eat out every night and the majority of your options are not healthy options?
Right.
So everybody is benefiting from the man and the woman being separated.
Wow.
Every industry is benefiting. It's a it's a number to it.
Wow.
That they're benefiting from us actually being separate. So the objective is not for us to be married so that we can save money.
Mm.
The objective is for us to be married so that we cannot fund their operation for our destruction.
Mm.
That's why.
Yeah, yeah. And be married to build, right?
That's right.
Continue to build that wealth.
That's right, yeah.
Where do you see We Buy Black in the next 10 years?
In the next 10 years, and it's really already happening, man. We Buy Black,
I'll put this out there because I don't think no one knows this. When I started the company, I wrote down three names, and We Buy Black was one of the three names that I written down. And it was five names. I'm sorry. We Buy Black was one of the names that I written down. From five, I brought it down to three. Mm-hmm. From three, I brought it down to one. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned to those who were in my circle, I told them, I said, this is the name that I'm most that I'm not fond for. We Buy Black. I don't really like this name. Mm-hmm. However, strategically, I think it's going to do on a marketing level. I think it's going to do very well.
Yeah.
It's going to stick with people. Mm-hmm. People are going to be able to remember it. And I think it's straightforward. When you hear that, you kind of know what it is. Like, you know, brother was like, you know, We Buy Black. So what you buy black folk? You know what I mean?
Right.
It was a joke, but he knew what we were talking about. He actually understood it. So it didn't really need too much explanation.
Mm-hmm.
So when I started, I said that eventually, I said that I was going to change the name within 5 years.
Mm.
That I was going to gather our community, build a very strong following.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would change the name to something a little bit more reflective on our humanity, right? Because I believe that at some point they were going to try to hijack this movement, like they hijack everything.
Absolutely, yeah.
And and it's happening. To be honest with you, it's happening.
Yeah.
So I knew that would have to happen. It did. Like we're getting ready to go 8 years in, and I still didn't make the change. Yet, and it may take another 5-10 years before I do, you know. But it's the community is really not where I want our community to be at before such a change happened. And it's not really in the name; it's more so in the spirit.
Yeah,
it's in the spirit. Where are we going?
Mm-hmm.
For me, I believe that I mentioned it in this show that our community needs a model representation.
Yeah.
That if we could establish a land where you have 1,000 homes, and on those homes you have your own grocery store, you have your own theater, you have X, Y, Z, all these different type of things that we actually need. But in that grocery store, all of the products in that grocery store is actually from members within your community, right? And if you have corn chips, the corn that is being used to produce the corn chips is actually coming from a farm that we own, right?
Yeah.
The cotton in our shirts is coming from cotton on a field in which we own.
Mm.
The processing plants we own. Mm. And I think that that's very, very important, that I think that that mission should never leave us.
Mm.
And even if something was to happen to me, I believe that there's just going to be other groups of people who carry that same spirit that's going to pick up the same mission.
Yeah.
The need for us to do for ourselves is never going to leave our community until it happens.
Yep.
It's either going to happen or we're going to be destroyed as a community. Mm-hmm. It's two things.
Yeah.
There's no other way to go.
That's it. Yeah.
We're going to either be destroyed as a community, or what I mean by that is as a community, we're no longer be operating as a community. We're just going to, you know, passport our way somewhere else and just, you know, fit in with everybody else.
Yeah.
Or if we decide to stay a community, then we have to get to a point where we are doing for ourselves.
Yeah.
Because the moment that you, and that's not to say that we can't go anywhere else and shop.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to say that we can't wear anybody else's clothing. Mm-hmm. It's not to say any of that. It's just to say that we should have some level of dignity where we should be providing alternatives, that there should be alternatives on the market, that if somebody wanted to buy, you know, whatever, some water, right? Somebody wanted to buy water. Like right here in Atlanta, it's like 7 bottled water companies, black-owned.
Mm.
7 black-owned bottled water companies.
Wow.
And you know I'm going to notice, you know, because of We Buy Black.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, but we have really every single thing that we need within our community.
Yeah.
Now it's a matter of us coming together, codifying it.
Yeah,
you know, bringing, and when I say everything we need, I'm not just talking products. I'm talking resources.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a number of people that came on this show here
mm-hmm.
that those people are leaders in their own right.
Absolutely.
They could take a community of people to a whole nother level.
Absolutely. Yeah.
If they all work together,
Absolutely.
If we all got together and worked together,
yeah,
then it's more than just building credit. It's more than just doing all these other type of things that we talk about.
Mm-hmm.
It's to what end?
Yeah.
It's to what end? And I believe that, the only success that is meant for us as a people, it lies within two main things. One is that we have to stay close to God. Mm-hmm. And I know sometimes that make our people kind of move a different way. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. I get it. We've been through a lot, so I can understand how that disruption can cause an imbalance. Mm-hmm. We have to stick close to God. And what I mean by that is that we have to stick close to his word. God gives us guidance, and who is better to guide us than the one that actually created us? And the second thing we have to do is that we have to remain morally upright. These two actually go hand in hand. That you have to be morally upright, and you have to listen to where the direction that God wants to take you. Yeah. Because you could be going in the direction that God wants to take you, but don't think that you're going to be going alone. There's going to be forces that's going to be working up against you.
Yeah.
And a way in which you defeat those forces is by staying in alignment with the path that God wants you to be on.
Yeah.
And that's by being morally upright. And I tell you where I got this from. So in scripture, we all know the story of Joseph.
Yep.
And in Quran, it talks about how he was traded off betrayed by his own brothers.
Yeah.
And he had a number of brothers, 11 brothers, other brothers. And his brothers, when they traded him off, Yusuf or Joseph in this particular case, for us, he represents the African-American community. And I'm going to tell you why I say that. It's because we the only group that really been traded off by the rest of the world. Everyone knew that we were in slavery.
Yeah.
Everyone knew that we were under those harsh conditions.
Yeah.
And no one came to our rescue. So now God is positioning us to be a special group.
Wow.
And by us being a special group as Joseph or Yusuf in scripture, he was in prison.
Right. Yeah.
When he was in prison, he was also in prison with two other prisoners.
Yeah.
And one of those prisoners, when he left the prison, he died off. And that means that he died to his morality. Then the other prisoner, he was able to go and be amongst the chiefs, the leaders of the political world, the leaders of who were ruling the world.
Yeah.
But when the leadership became in tough times and they didn't know the direction for their community and for the world at that time, and this is Pharaoh, he didn't know what to do, and the people amongst him, the elites amongst him, the intellectuals, the scientists, all of these people amongst him didn't know what kind of help to give Pharaoh. And there was one who could help Pharaoh, who could interpret dreams, who could let Pharaoh know what his dream meant. And the one who had forgot about his brother when they were in the prison, he remembered at that moment that I have a brother that's in prison.
Yeah.
Not a blood brother, but there's someone of my own kind that was in prison.
Yeah.
And the one that is in prison, he's wrongfully accused. This is important.
And he stood morally upright.
That's the key.
So he's in prison for being moral.
He's in prison. He's in prison because they accuse him of something that he didn't do. And they needed to get him out of prison, but they were getting him out of prison on a condition that he could help them in their society.
Yeah.
So when they brought him out of the prison, he put conditions on the table and said that I would help you under a condition that you will free my name, that I didn't commit this. You got to free my name of the injustice that you said that I committed. So the Pharaoh organized and set the stage to free him of the injustice that was presented against him. And it came out that he was telling the truth. That the Pharaoh's wife had to admit that he didn't try to seduce me. He didn't try to do X, Y. We know the story.
Yeah.
But this is talking. This is revelation speaking of our own existence today. This is what's happening to us today.
Yeah.
And when he was in the prison, he got out of prison and was able to direct and tell Pharaoh the direction of what his dreams meant and how he needed to prepare himself and his community and his situation, how he needed to prepare in order to survive what was coming. And Pharaoh rewarded him to be over the storefronts. This is he's the man now, or this is the people now, who would be the ones to dictate who gets what. Who gets what,
yeah.
Right?
And what better group of people to be in a position like that than a morally upright people and a person and a people that actually listen to the guidance of God? Because they're going to always be just to the group.
Yeah.
And the only reason why Pharaoh was in that condition is because he took the community out of his balance. And whenever you take the community out of his balance, it's only a time. It's a time that's associated with that when it would come to his destruction. So in order for Pharaoh to preserve their life, to preserve their longevity, they had to bring someone in who was connected to God. Right?
Yeah.
And now he was in that position. He didn't, and Yusuf ain't say, nah, I'm, you know, I'm kicking y'all out of that position.
Right.
You know, I'm no longer, no. He operated alongside with them.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But he was able to influence Pharaoh and influence that society with much good. And I believe that as African Americans, I believe that that's what's happening to us.
Yeah.
It's not going to be all of us.
Yeah.
It may be a whole third of us that's going to die out there because of our morality. There's going to be another strong group of us that's going to raise, that's going to come up in money, that's going to come up in success, that's going to reach strong, have strong political ties and be very influential in the political sphere, et cetera, et cetera. And then there's going to be another group who is going to hold true to God, his word, and it's going to remain morally upright. And because of that, then no matter what everybody else gets, that becomes his resources.
Powerful, powerful, powerful. And I, you know, anybody watching this, I need you pick up the scripture, right? Pick up the Quran.
Straight up.
It's in the Bible.
Straight up.
Right? Understand the story of Joseph, and then you're going to understand the power behind even the phrase that I hear people say, you know, the meek shall inherit the earth.
That's right, yeah.
Right? You'll understand the power that, how that relates to your business, how it relates to your life, how it relates to everything. And if you want to get to that next level, put God first.
That's right. Always put God first.
Always put God first. Brother Sharif.
Man, thank you.
Man, I appreciate you, brother. Thank you so much. If you know, our insiders wanted to connect with you, where can they find you?
Yeah, anybody wanting to connect with me, you can reach me multiple ways. The best way is to reach out to us through We By Black. Go to webyblack.com. We have a contact us form. Let them know that you want to get in contact with me directly. You can also hit us up through Instagram, We By Black through Instagram, through Facebook. Our team would put you in contact with me. That's not a difficult, it shouldn't be a difficult task. It might be a difficult task, but it shouldn't be a difficult task. If it is, we need to work on that. Also, I have a, you know, personal Instagram. You all can find me. It's Sharif_Abdul_Malik. There you could learn more about me outside of, you know, the entities in which I create.
All right. Look, We By Black, contact him, but definitely follow him personally as well. Drops a lot of gems. If you want to learn how to tap in and you know, get morally upright, then, you know, definitely tap in.
Yeah.
Are you going to tell us the name? I thought you, because you, the name of the new company or no?
Are you talking about the podcast?
No. I know you said, like, you know, We By Black. You know what?
I have never decided on that.
Okay,
you know,
I never decided on it. I thought you was going to drop an exclusive. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, I say this, man. Look, don't get it twisted.
Yeah.
We about getting this money.
Yes, sir.
Don't ever get that twisted.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, I got a few billionaires in my phone book.
Yes, sir.
And that's light change.
Yep.
That's really light change.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, we, and I've helped many people hit millions for 100%. Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's all light.
Yeah.
I listen to people boast on what they got.
Yeah.
You see, I don't say nothing.
No, 100%. Yeah, yeah.
You know me.
Yeah, yeah.
What's most important is what I'm giving here.
Yeah.
If you doubt that, then it's just a matter of time.
Yeah. 100%.
Before you see it yourself.
100%.
Hey, but we getting it though. Don't.
Let's go. Let's go. You know, We By Black. Make sure you tap in. Powerful episode. Make sure you share this, like this, tell a friend to tell a friend. The only way, right? We have to do for self. The only way we could ever progress as a community is to support our own. You got to do for self, which also means, right, you want for your brother what you want for yourself.
That's right.
Right? So doing for self also means doing for your brother, doing for your sister.
That's right.
Right? And so WeBuyBlack.com, tap in. Make sure you tap in with us inside the vault. We're closing out another awesome episode. We're closing the vault. Check us out, InsideTheVaultShow.com. Follow us on all social media platforms at Inside the Vault. Me, I am Ash Cash. Make sure you visit me, IamAshCash.com. Follow me on all social media platforms at IamAshCash. Join the Abundance Community. You know, go to abundancecommunity.org. We got some more gems, some more heat, some behind the scenes access, all of that stuff. So join us, abundancecommunity.org. I'll see y'all next time, same place, in God's will, or as we say in Islam, inshallah. I'll see y'all later, y'all. Peace.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.